Gay marriage is now legal in 36 states. By the end of the Supreme Court term in June, same-sex couples will either be able to wed in all 50 states, or gay marriage bans may be restored in many states where they've been struck down.
Same-sex marriage and the Supreme Court. That's the topic of this pop-up podcast for NPR One listeners. I'm Don Gagne, and that was a voice that needs no introduction. Nina Totenberg. Hi, Nina.
Hi, Don.
Mara Liasson is also here joining us.
Hi, Don.
And someone you simply can't exclude when hosting a discussion about a big issue before the United States Supreme Court, Tom Goldstein of SCOTUS Blog.
Thanks so much for having me.
The blog, of course, is the blog about the U.S. Supreme Court. Glad you're all here. Mara, let's start with you. You and I have covered a lot of political stories together, a lot of campaigns together, but this particular issue has picked up steam in a really astounding way.
There's never been a big social issue where public opinion has tipped this fast. Just in a few short years, you've gone from, in 2004, 30% of the country supported gay marriage. Now it's 56%. And that is why Republican candidates are in a bit of a bind on this.
And what if we break it down by party and look at it that way?
Well, this is the problem. 71% of Republicans are against gay marriage. And that is just completely at odds with national public opinion. And we would assume that the numbers for Republican primary voters who are against gay marriage is even higher than 71%.
The more active they are in politics, the more they are likely to be opposed to same-sex marriage. Is that the sense?
That's right. And that's why Republicans have a problem. They can't run away from this issue. All of them are on record being against gay marriage. On the other hand, if they're going to run in a general election and appeal to the widest spectrum of voters, that's at odds with changing public opinion.
Okay, Nina, it's your turn. What are the questions before the court now?
Well, the first question and the most important question is there a constitutional right to marry for gay couples? And if there is, the bans on gay marriage are unconstitutional. The second supplementary question is, if the court were to uphold the bans, do those states nonetheless have to recognize marriages that are legally performed in states where gay marriage is legal? Does your marriage status travel with you as it does in most cases?
Tom, talk about the question before the court.
Sure. Well, I do think that there's a real tie between what Mara and Nina are talking about because the Supreme Court here has played a real leadership role 2 years ago. The justices struck down a big part of a federal law under which the federal government wouldn't recognize state same-sex marriages. And they really kind of adopted the role of moral leadership in the country, saying that they thought that a majority of the court, that these were discriminatory laws. And now we're going to see whether or not the justices are going to pull the trigger and recognize something really fundamental. And that is, for hundreds of years in this country, same-sex marriage has been unlawful. And now will they find a constitutional right for those marriages?
Something that combines both of these things, the poll numbers now versus then, what Tom just said. Let me just quote you what Chief Justice Warren Burger said in 1986 in a concurring opinion when the court upheld a Georgia law that made it a crime to have consenting homosexual conduct in private.
Again, 1986.
And he quoted a famous quote and said, "It's an infamous crime against nature worse than rape, and a crime not fit to be named." That was the opinion in 1986 that was acceptable.
And 30 years ago is not that long in Supreme Court terms. The justices don't tend to move on a dime like we've seen the country do here.
So let's look at the stakes here and the potential outcomes that the justices could come up with and what they would mean. What if the court rules same-sex marriage is legal across the land?
The short answer is there'd probably be some wiggling and waggling. We've already seen the Chief Justice of Alabama put a halt to marriages there, even though there's a court order saying you're supposed to be able to marry. But this country is a country of laws, and people would probably start to obey it. And as in Massachusetts, where there was initially some big hoo-ha about it in 2004 when it became legal there, people got accustomed to it pretty quickly.
And Practically speaking, though, how does it ripple through the country in a legal sense? Tom, why don't you take
it? It takes hold day one. I mean, if the Supreme Court says there's this right, then the next day you are going to see in the state of Texas, in the most conservative states in the country, in Alabama, couples will arrive in order to be able to get married. There isn't an interim step where legislatures have to step in and pass laws. It's right away.
There it is. Nina?
And there'll be some attempts in state legislatures to say, well, we don't have to issue these licenses if you don't agree with it. I think the federal courts will not tolerate that.
Mara, if same-sex marriage is ruled to be legal by the Supreme Court, period, what does that do to the politics of this, do you think?
Well, I think it's going to be fascinating. First of all, we cannot overestimate how little enthusiasm Republicans have talking about the issue of gay rights and same-sex marriage. That being said, here's just an example of what Republican candidates for president have been saying about this issue.
States have always regulated marriage, and if a state wants to have a different definition, you should petition the state legislature and have a political debate. I don't think courts should be making that decision.
Well, I'm for traditional marriage. I think marriage is between a man and a woman. Ultimately, we could have fixed this a long time ago if we just allowed contracts between adults.
Traditional marriage has been part of the glue that has kept our society intact.
I've always viewed marriage as being between a man and a woman.
Imagine a federal government that works to defend the sanctity of human life and to uphold the sacrament of marriage.
All voices from the still early presidential campaign on the GOP side. That was in order: Florida Senator Marco Rubio, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, and the last voice you heard there, Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Mara, what do you hear when you hear those voices?
Well, you know, what I hear is a real rearguard action. I think in a very perverse way, if the Supreme Court rules in favor of a constitutional right to marry, it's going to help Republicans politically. That might seem counterintuitive, but Republicans are going to be able to say, the court has made the wrong decision, it's the law of the land, I don't agree with it, we'll pivot to other issues. And Republicans will definitely pay a price if they are seen as running away from this issue in the primary. But the Supreme Court, I think, right now is their best friend, because if they do rule the way many Republicans think they will for gay marriage, Republicans will just say, the court has spoken, I don't agree, let's move on to something else.
What about on the Democratic side if it's suddenly legal in all 50 states? And any impact, anything interesting to look for there?
I really don't think so. Democrats are in favor of gay marriage, and I think it will cause great enthusiasm on the part of gay voters, who mostly vote for Democrats anyway. And they'll be able to say, we were on the right side of history.
Nina, no matter what side people are on this, it's important to remember these are real people behind these cases that have gone to the court. And the cases have started over kind of mundane family matters, very important family matters, but over, adoption and end-of-life decisions and all kinds of things.
They literally go from birth to death, from the parent of a child where the mate was pregnant through artificial insemination to the many couples who've adopted. Let's listen, for example, to April DeBoer from Michigan, who with her partner has adopted 4 children. But Michigan doesn't let gay couples adopt. They only let single people adopt. So each of them has adopted 2 of the children. And I should add, 2 of the children have disabilities.
One of the states, too, where it remains illegal.
Michigan is one of the states that's in front of the Supreme Court where the ban has so far been upheld.
Okay, let's hear April DeBoer.
It was never about us, our marriage, our relationship. It was about protecting our kids. And, suddenly now the focus of this lawsuit is going to be about our marriage, which honestly, come into our house and see our daily lives. Our daily lives are just like everybody else.
And what they're worried about is if one of them dies, the other has no right of custody of the 2 children that that person hasn't adopted. They have to have 2 insurance plans because they're not considered a family.
Tom.
And Justice Kennedy, who's, of course, at the center of the Supreme Court and has played a leadership role on gay rights issues, in the last decision that the court had, the Defense of Marriage Act decision, found this issue very, very important. and talked about what it's like to be the children in these families and have that family relationship disparaged and held out as being not nearly as important, and really seemed to believe and accept that these are incredibly important familial relationships. So for a conservative, they may not believe necessarily in the same-sex marriage itself. There is still a core belief in the value of keeping these families together.
So given that, what is the argument from the other side? We heard from April DeBoer there describing their situation.
The first argument is democracy. We voted for this. A lot of these laws, I think 30-plus of them are constitutional amendments. In Michigan, I don't know, 58% of the people voted for a constitutional amendment to make gay marriage illegal. A second issue is states' rights. Domestic relations have always been the purview of the states. That's the core of their argument. They've given up on some of the other arguments, like gay couples aren't as good parents. Those, you don't see that in the briefs anymore.
Tradition still comes up. This is how marriage has always been defined?
Yes, it's been defined this way in Michigan, for example, since 18-something or other, mm-hmm. before it was a state.
One of the big difficulties that defenders of these laws have is that all of these arguments echo the exact same arguments mm-hmm. that were used to defend anti-miscegenation laws that said blacks and whites, people of different races, couldn't marry. And so this is the dilemma for someone who wants to defend something that has been enacted democratically, which is a very important principle in the country. Well, the Constitution exists to prohibit discriminatory laws that have been enacted by democratic governments. And so it doesn't give you the answer to where to draw the line between tradition and a tradition of discrimination.
Let's remind our listeners that this is a special podcast from NPR on the same-sex marriage cases before the Supreme Court. Nina, let's look at some of the other potential outcomes. What if the court says that that there is no right to marry for same-sex couples?
Well, then all the states in which these laws were struck down and in which the Supreme Court left those rulings standing, some of those states, maybe a majority of those states, are going to try to have those laws put back in place. It's not quite clear that they how they're going to do that, whether they'd have to pass them again. There are all kinds of legal technicalities that would make it very difficult to just say, oh, well, it's now back on the books when it's already been struck down. I think you're talking about a fair amount of legal chaos.
We don't just revert back to some earlier date
no.
on the calendar.
No,
no. And remember, and as a lawyer, I certainly appreciate the value of legal chaos. But the, you know, we're talking about a wet mess. We've got, you know, thousands of couples that have been married in those states in the interim. And what do we do with their marriages? And a lot will depend on what happens with the second question in front of the Supreme Court, which is, hey, if there's no constitutional right to same-sex marriage, if you do get married in a state where it's been allowed by law, and then you go to another state like Texas, what then? And so what we will probably see, given that it's very likely at the least that the plaintiffs will win that second question, that you'll see a huge amount of marriage tourism. And so you're going to see people going from one state or another in order to be able to marry lawfully and then go back home. And the level of confusion and inequality and what to do about benefits with all of these couples, what to do about custody and adoption and everything.
And divorce.
Yeah.
And divorce. And I guarantee you that there'll be a lawsuit then that says from people who have not been able to marry saying, well, we're entitled to the equal protection of the law and those people get to be married, but we don't.
Have we ever been in a place where we could be, where someone is legally married in a state and suddenly it's not legal there? And what do we look to for precedent?
Yeah, in terms of hitting the reset button, unwinding these sorts of things. You know, the law has these kinds of very awkward transitions. We're talking about interjecting the Constitution to kind of move society along to a place that we all think it's inevitably going to get. And there are inevitably these difficult times. It was true in the Civil Rights era. We look back at some of those transitions with kind of rose-colored glasses and think they were easier than they were. I think that the country is moving along so fast, and no matter what the Supreme Court does in terms of its ruling, you're never going to hear the hateful language that Nina quoted from Warren Burger, except, you know, conceivably from the very most conservative justices. And even then, I think they'll believe it's beyond the pale.
No.
And so we'll get there in 2 or 3 years, but there are real human beings involved. And let's not discount also the kind of moral sensibilities of traditionalists who feel very strongly about this and feel with real religious conviction about that the country is going in the wrong direction. It will hit people personally, inevitably, one direction or the other.
Mara, public opinion is public opinion, and we see where it's going on this. What if the court says there is no right to marriage for same-sex couples.
I think politically it would give a huge boost to the Democrats. I think there would be tremendous activism on the part of gay voters and their supporters to work to get gay marriage legal in all these states. It would be easier for the Democrats to organize. I think it would help probably the most conservative, socially conservative Republican candidates in a primary, but it would burden the eventual nominee with a big problem in a general election because they'd be on the wrong side of national popular opinion.
Mara, Nina, Tom, thank you to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you for
Thanks.
Having us.
And that's it for NPR's special pop-up podcast. For Nina Totenberg, Mara Liasson, and Tom Goldstein, I'm Don Gagne. Thanks to you all for listening.